Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, standing at a sleek 5'11", 245 pounds, the tumultuous tempest of technique, Thomas Lilly. And in the red corner, at a curvaceous 5'11", 315 pounds, the jovial juggernaut of judgment, John Cheryl Sheridan. A meeting of the masters of mastication. Turn your attention as they delve deep into all things lifting and more. This is Peak Speak.
You don't even have Audacity open, Thomas. You're the most useless podcast host I've ever been involved with.
I mean, you're definitely up there.
You're definitely up there. We are back with another episode of Peak Speak featuring Thomas and
John. Please do
John
the whole
Sheridan.
Episode like that. I'll be so happy if you can do that for
me. It's my alluring voice. It's how I attract people into my lures. Lure people into my traps, I should say. It's really early in the morning, as usual. We're recording all of this, by the way, so...
Yeah, no, I know. That's the best Welcome. Part. Welcome. Did you see that tag from someone whose name I've forgotten off the top of my head about like episode 27 or something, that comp day mindset one?
Yeah.
And he was like, funniest 10 minutes ever. And I had no idea what was in that because I do these podcasts and then completely forget what we talked about until I listened to it again. And so I went back and listened to it and it was actually quite
yeah,
funny.
That, it was Matt Smith. She's a coach up in... up north somewhere. I always get all the towns mixed up. I think she's in Townsville or Cairns.
Yeah. So I re-listened to it and it was very funny, if I don't say
what?
So.
What was it about?
It was like I told the story about becoming the best bench presser in Australia. We were talking about like breaking obscure records and just shit like that. It was just a 10 minutes of bullshit that you and I have fun doing and forget that we're recording. And, it was quite funny.
If you do say so. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell the people about your car adventures.
Fucking some junkie opened the door to my car that I didn't lock because I'm a fucking idiot. And took my sick hate brand bump bag, which I'm devo about, and stole my wallet on Monday. That was a pretty shitty way to start a week. But, after the fuck around of cancelling a whole bunch of cards and... acquiring a new license, and that reminds me I've got to do something about my Medicare card. Fuck.
That was the most Australian bogan thing I've ever heard you say. Some fucking junkie broke into my fucking car and stole me bum bag, and I'm fucking devo about it, eh?
Yeah,
and
right.
They took me fucking Medicare card.
Yeah. Okay, now that you put it like that. That was a crap way to start a week, but it's going to be... buoyed by the fact that by the time people are listening to this episode, I'll probably be on my way to Sydney to see Tool, which I'm really excited about.
You're a Tool fan. I would have never guessed that from your social media.
You're like the eighth person to make that joke in the last 24 hours. In case you don't follow me on social media, you should. I'm very funny. I am going to see Tool next week. I'm going to see Tool quite a bit next week, which is cool.
Besides the fact that I like you, your social media, the exclusive reason I follow it is for you to post throwback photos of terrible haircuts and no beards. I have a screenshot collection building up slowly.
Good. I haven't posted the photo of my passport yet. That I'm currently the only photo identification I have in my possession until my license comes is a passport that expired in 2017. And the photo for said passport was taken, I think, at the end of 2006. So I was 18, 19, sans beard and very much looking like the child I was. It's been an interesting week. And frustrating, you know?
It's like just annoying.
Having to deal with... Yeah, exactly. And they spent like $130 on one of my business accounts before I got to it. Man, like I'd pay that person $130 to just leave my shit behind and just not have to deal with that fuck around, yeah. You know? But I also do feel sorry for someone who's in a situation where they feel that that's the only way they can make a living. That sucks for them. But, and you know, I'm privileged enough to be in a position where it's not a huge issue. It's just a major inconvenience. So I can't really complain too much because mostly because next week I'm going to settle and that's about all I'm thinking about.
That was so wholesome of you, but really it was just segueing back to Tool.
Pretty much everything in my life at the moment is segueing back to Tool. My girlfriend is so sick of it.
I'm not even your girlfriend, like, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah, look, I'm not surprised, and I'm completely unfucking apologetic about it. If you don't listen to Tool, you should. It'll be good for your soul. Anyway, how's life with you?
Yeah, pretty good, man. Gym, new gym is.
Yeah, that's like up and running now. That's
a real thing. Yeah, slowly getting bigger and better. Our Alico stuff is finally leaving Sweden, so we should have that within the next 40 days. And our AMFX stuff has allegedly been completed and heading towards the powder coaters. So hopefully we have that in the next 6 weeks. Stop laughing. It's not funny.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Not funny. Yeah, all tardiness aside, it's the best stuff in the world. So, really looking, it's going to be worth the wait. So, really, really looking forward to that. Actually, shout out to a guy from Townsville who was training at the gym this week because he heard about it on PeakSpeak. I believe his name was Camillo, but if I screwed that up, I'm really sorry, man. Thanks for coming to the gym.
He sometimes forgets my name, so don't feel special about that.
Yeah, but no, all is well down this end. Everyone's getting geared up for Pro Raw, so that's going to be exciting.
I'm not sure you should use the term
geared up as in like, yeah, right, actually, in reflection, excited. It does sound...
yes, it's a poor choice of words. Everyone is
getting fired up for Pro Raw. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I think old man Mike's going to be up your way soon.
Oh, sweet.
For a couple of weeks, which will be cool. Yeah, no, good. I'm glad to hear that the new gym hasn't just turned you into a stress and anxiety-filled ball of crazy emotions. I'm
too chill to be stressed. Yeah, the world could be burning around me. In fact, Australia has been burning around me, and it's just like, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, fuck, anyway, man.
What are we talking about?
So because I'm solely responsible for maintaining the integrity of this podcast, I was thinking on topics this morning, and you posted a post on your Instagram the other day about bench press. And as much as I hate the bench press, I thought it was a really good post encouraging people to ask better questions. And I think that it was that. And also I saw, Pat Davidson, who's a biomechanist coach dude from the US, post a excerpt from his upcoming book where he talked about, it was words to the effect of, I'm not seeking answers, I'm seeking to ask better questions. And I think that's an interesting topic to get into because the continual influx of new and novice people in the fitness world, powerlifting specifically for sure, but also just in general, has led to a significant increase in the number of people who are asking questions like, what's the best exercise for my triceps? What's the best grip? Like, everyone wants a really definitive answer in a short and succinct manner that just gives them what to do instead of understanding why they're doing it. And I think we've talked about variations on this topic before, but I think encouraging people to ask better questions and sort of talking about what that means. Because, you know, you can tell people to ask better questions, but if they don't know any better, then you can't expect them to ask better questions.
Yeah, man. And I'm sure Dr. Pat Davidson would be stoked that he spent all that time studying to be called a coach dude. It reminds me of Austin Powers when they call him Mr. Evil and he's like, it's Dr. Evil. I didn't spend 8 years at Evil Medical School to be called Mr.
Yeah, look, that's a very good point. Dr. Pat Davidson, I know you're probably not listening to this, but I'm sorry.
You are a cool coach, dude, though. We love you.
Yeah, for sure. Man, some of the stuff he puts out just leaves me laughing tears of joy.
It's the style as well. Just like a flowery background with text that just kicks you right in the dick.
Yeah, it's great.
It
gets me every time. If you don't follow Dr. Pat Davidson on Instagram, definitely. You should.
So, yeah, I mean, that post stemmed from really a common theme that I take people through in the coach development system. So the first module in the development system is all about principles. It's designed to be the stuff that you can't argue with, right? It's kind of predicated on the idea that we're all built the same. We're all built differently, but we're all doing the same lifts. We're all doing squat, bench, deadlift. So within those lifts, there's biomechanical rules that apply to everyone, right? And so we go through these principles, and then I throw these bullshit questions at people like, where should your bench grip be? Where should you put your hands on the bar when you squat? How wide should your feet be? All of this kind of stuff. And the answer is always going to lead back to something bigger than the answer to that individual question. The answer is always going to come back to, does this allow the person to articulate the principles that we've just talked about, right? So that's what that post was all about. And it is about asking the right questions. And that, like you said, can extend to so many areas of training. And that kind of what you highlighted as well, that idea of like, what is the best exercise for this? I'm experiencing this problem in X lift. What exercise should I do to fix it? They're not the right questions. I mean, oh God, I don't know what happened then. My stomach just decided to say hello. They're not illogical questions.
And that's why I said, like, if you don't know any better, then that's the obvious question to ask. I have this problem. What's the solution to my problem?
So what are some of the common questions that you hear in your coaching?
It's definitely like some variation of what's the best exercise, or which approach should I take to this one very particular problem? And it's almost always asked with the intention that I'll just like throw a quick answer at someone. And then what I end up doing is ranting and raving for 25 minutes. That goes back to like, we start talking about evolution and then suddenly we're back to talking about bench press, but you've got to get all of that full circle in before you come back to the start again. It's that, I wouldn't say there's one particular question for sure. Like bar position in a squat's a good one. Grip width in a bench press, those sort of things are all pretty common. I think people are often just looking for that really short, succinct, like, oh, here's the best option for you.
Because I think there are some really common questions, and I think maybe if we nut out some of those, that we'll be able to give the people listening some tangible answers. One of the big common ones, especially in more inexperienced lifters, how much can I expect to add to X lift or to my total in X amount of time, right? And that's definitely the wrong question. Like, what do you say when people ask you that? Because I'm sure that's a common question you get asked a lot as well.
Yeah. And as soon as you mentioned, I was like, yeah, that's actually probably like, yeah, some variation of like, how much can I expect, or I want to do this.
Is it possible?
In this time frame? Yeah. Look, my first answer is always like, maybe. But then we just end up having a long discussion about how it doesn't work like that. You can't necessarily guarantee a set amount of return on your investment. You know, it's like any volatile investment. It's not going to come back to a guaranteed percentage or a guaranteed increase or even a steady increase over a period of time. It's going to be a multitude of factors, because, you know, you could have a perfect training cycle and then 3 days before the comp, you get really sick through some unforeseen circumstance and you can't, you know, compete well or anything like that. So they're just, it ends up being a discussion about the variables that influence your strength on any given day when it comes to the competition aspect of things, because that's obviously a little bit different to someone who's just training for training's sake and everyday strength and that sort of thing. I think because of the nature of powerlifting, where it happens on a day in a given environment, regardless of external circumstances, it's a lot different to like just coming into the gym over a 2 to 3 week period and maxing out when you're feeling really good.
Yeah, I think the other thing that comes with that is your definition of progress, right? And this is something that we've talked about a lot. Your definition of progress can relate to so many different things. Like if you're a powerlifter, your definition of progress is your total. If your total's going up, you're making progress in the sport of powerlifting, because total is king, right? So even if, you know, one lift particularly suffers in a training cycle and doesn't move, maybe that lift has improved technically. So you now know you've got you know, a better base to build from for the next comp. Or, like you were saying, we don't get to choose the days that we're stronger. So maybe if you do a comp and the numbers aren't as good as the last comp, or there's a step back or something like that, but all your training numbers have gone better and your technique's improved, you've gotten stronger, you've gotten better, you've made progress. You just weren't able to express it on that one particular day. So coming back to this idea of, like, you know, it's not a linear climb. Each day that you're doing the sport, you're a little bit stronger and a little bit better. It ebbs and flows. There are variations in this, just like everything in this game, just like your body weight daily. You weigh yourself, you're up, you're down. It's, you know, we're looking at average over time. And if the average is progress, then we're winning. And, you know, that's sort of my answer to the question. It's like, how much can I expect to get stronger in that? Well, that's not the right question. Can I expect to get stronger? Yes. Should I be expecting to get stronger? Yes. What that looks like is impossible for me to say, because I don't have a crystal ball.
How do you measure that? Yeah, exactly. So, and I think in that same frame, like, the same weight done better in a comp, you know, like, say one day you bench 150 and it's a garbage lift that takes you 4.5 minutes to actually grind out from your chest. And then the next comp you come in 3 months later, 4 months later, hit 150 and it's really crisp and clean, but then you miss whatever came next. Well, like, maybe you didn't hit a PB, but it was definitely better than the last one, which sets you up for the next one, you know. And that's the great thing about powerlifting and strength training, is that there's always a next one. There's always the next comp or the next cycle. And I think it's sort of the power of, you know, like, that approach to compounding interest. If you gradually put that effort in over the time, you can expect to see results. And if you stop seeing results for a certain amount of time, say you hit a plateau or you are injured a lot or something like that, that's the time when you really do need to ask better questions, because the things that got you to where you are not going to be the same questions and the same answers that get you beyond where you are now. And that, I think that's where a lot of people fall down. They get injured or they stop making progress, and they come back and just bash their heads against the same wall over and over and over again until they get to a point where they quit because they're sick of it.
I mean,
instead of being able to ask better questions.
It's Einstein's definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
You know how, you know, we're intellectuals? We just raised Einstein on our powerlifting podcast.
Right. I also made an Einstein meme once about, like, being the guy at comps that can convert pounds to kilos really quickly. It's the best, going to American comps, and they're all like doing the mathematics calculation meme in their head, looking at these, like, weird red kilo plates, and it's just like, yeah, that's 175, bro.
As a side note, I maintain that I want to start a movement in powerlifting where everyone ignores the fact that Americans use pounds. Like, I am infuriated by seeing people who are not American list their lifts as kilos and then pounds. Just, like, cool, raise the common denominator and force them to make the fucking calculations themselves. And maybe at that point they'll realize pounds is a dumb measure of weight.
It's annoying when it's the exact measure of pounds as well, like 738. Yeah, like
776.4 pounds. Yeah.
Anyway. Sick. Another really common question, and I think this is something we can delve a little bit deeper into as well, and something that's really relevant for a lot of lifters, is how do I fix my arm pain? Like this annoying nerve pain that you get when you bench that's caused by low bar squatting. Because that question is a loaded question. They're asking, what's the stretch? What's the thing I take? What's the magic stability exercise that I do to fix this problem? How often does that come up for you? It comes up a shitload for me.
Yeah, definitely pretty regularly. I think I'm better at catching it earlier now than I have been in the past, or it's like seeing it coming in people, which is always nice. But it's super common. Everyone who gets heavily into powerlifting at some point has to change their days around, so they have to bench the day before they squat so that they can actually get a whole bench session in without arm pain, and, you know, things like that become very, very common. I've experienced it. I've experienced it much less now because
you don't lift.
I'm just not squatting with a straight bar in the same way, which is nice. But things like that around that. And I, like, this is the problem with the whole fucking concept, is people are asking these questions expecting there to be an answer. And yeah, on the bench press one, it's certainly a loaded thing, because everyone goes, oh, my arms hurt when I bench. What do I need to do differently in the bench? Okay, okay, well, first, let's ignore the bench and look at your squat. Like, what? I asked a question about bench press. Now we're squatting again. I don't know what happened there. But yeah, if you can put it in context, then it's easy.
That's right. You know, a lot of these questions can often highlight the lack of understanding maybe of where the problem might be coming from. So you're seeking a solution to the wrong question, right?
Yeah, symptom. You're addressing symptoms, not issues. Yeah, that's right.
So like the arm pain thing is, if you don't have the stability to control your shoulder in a low bar squat position, if you can't create the shelf because you're missing one of the several nitpicky little elements of upper back tightness, you've got three major groups that branch up into six different areas where you've got, you know, internal external rotation of the shoulder creating torque, so shoulder stability. Then you've got scapular retraction, depression and tilt, so scapular stability. And then you've got thoracic extension, so thoracic stability, right? And if one of those things is missing, it can go down the road of causing this arm issue. So it's not a simple question of like, okay, how do I fix this arm pain? Well, tighten your upper back. It's like, okay, well, what element of that is missing? How can I actually address that? Or, oh, we'll do some rows. It's like, okay, well, how am I going to use a row to actually address this problem? The problem isn't a lack of rows. The problem is an issue within the squat.
And the problem could be exacerbated by more rows, especially if you row
that's like right, shit. Yeah. If you're digging yourself into poor positioning, if you're mirroring the same poor positioning on your squat and your row, you're just going to emphasize the issue.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's about getting a deeper understanding of where this problem is coming from and then going down the road of fixing that. So, you know, the even though that whole upper back tightness thing sounded complicated, it's actually pretty simple, because there's force coupling there. There's things that do other things automatically. When you retract and depress your scapula, you automatically get a rotational element in your shoulder. You automatically get some thoracic extension. So you can train all of those things together. It's just thinking about that specifically. So is a row a good exercise? Well, yes, if you're mirroring the same sort of scapular position or thoracic position or shoulder position, and you're also traveling through the same amount of range. It's like if you do a row, as a close grip row, and you're pulling to your stomach, look at the position of your elbow relative to where it would be in the squat. You're only halfway there. You need to be able to row your shoulder far further back. So doing single arm variations, doing banded variations, doing something where you can take your arm, or your shoulder, I should say, through the full range and emphasize the scapular position is going to have more carryover into then how you squat. And then you can't just do that thing as a standalone and expect it to improve your squat. You have to be thinking about this now in your squat as well. So there's like a defined pathway of, you know, improving these things. And it makes it seem a lot more complicated than just what's the exercise I do to fix this. Because I can give you the perfect exercise for shoulder stability, but if you don't have a pathway to turn that exercise into action in the main lift, you're going to see no change whatsoever. And that's the problem we have. We ask these questions, we Google the answers, or we go to these people that are putting it out there on Instagram in a very simplistic manner. And it's not necessarily poor information all the time, but it's often incomplete.
Yeah, well, it's lacking in context, and forgetting that what we're coaching is, or what we're addressing as a whole, is a complex system. You know, like, because there's not only is there the sort of nuance of applied biomechanics and anatomy and all of that sort of stuff, but then there's also the psychosomatic things that come into it. Like, you're dealing with humans, and when you throw simple answers to these questions out there, you're forgetting that the person and this is sort of speaking more towards the people that preach simple information like that, you're speaking more to, like, you, or, hold on, let me think this properly. You're in a position where you're providing an answer to a question, forgetting that you have this background knowledge and bias and viewpoint that you're bringing to the table that doesn't necessarily reflect that of your audience. And so you and I can have a simple discussion about, like, oh, well, you just do this, and I know that you know that I'm then going to take the thought I have while doing rows and apply it to how I squat. Mm. but not everyone makes that connection. And especially early on in the process, people are too busy worrying about how they're doing things to see the bigger picture that is we're training the whole unit as a piece, as a whole thing. And if you're not addressing the bigger picture from that point, you're going to have a really hard time being successful in the long mm-hmm. term.
So, you know, we're having this discussion around asking the right questions. How do people actually ask the right questions?
I think the first thing is you have to be genuinely engaged and curious about what you're doing. I think it's really easy, especially when you pay a coach to make decisions for you. It's really easy to just be like, oh, well, I'm paying this person and they know better and I'm just going to do exactly what they say in the way that I interpret it, and I'm going to ask no questions and I'm not going to engage in the process. I'm just going to turn up and do the work. Mm-hmm. And I think they're the first and foremost, they're the athletes that don't last very long, because even if you're really stubborn and persistent, eventually you stop making progress unless you're really genuinely engaged in learning about how it all works. Now, I don't think you necessarily have to be in a position where to be a recreational lifter, you have to go and take Thomas's coach development program and be certified to know exactly what you're doing. I just think you have to be curious enough to be like, okay, well, why does this happen? Not how do I fix it? Because mm-hmm. if, like you said, if you're doing the same thing over and over, if you have to foam roll the shit out of your glutes and quads in order to squat to depth every time you squat, well, then the fucking foam rolling is not doing anything for you. And if you can't recognize that, then I think you're going to have a hard time.
Do you really think that that whole idea of, you know, being an athlete with a coach requires the athlete to ask those questions and learn more? Like, I think it's a good thing. But I
don't think it requires it, but I think there's a scale between someone who comes to a person like you or I, gets coaching and really actively engages in the process because they are a coach themselves or an aspiring coach and they want to just learn more. I think I really enjoy those sort of people, coaching those people, because I like having these conversations. This is why I fucking have a podcast and I do what I do, because I enjoy talking about this stuff. I don't think you need to be that level of engaged for everyone, because that's not realistic. But I don't think paying a coach is an excuse to turn your fucking brain off and just turn up and do things. And to not ask questions. Like, at some point, if you don't understand, ask. And I think a lot of people just assume that they should understand, or they feel dumb for asking these questions, which is not the case. And I'm never upset about someone questioning why we're doing something in a program, or, you know, wanting to know more about, like, I don't consider it to be an insult, which I suspect people think. You know, they're worried about questioning my methods or my approach to something because they're concerned they'll offend me. Like, I'm really fucking hard to offend, and I'm more than happy to explain my thought process, because there is a process. Like, I can answer a question about everything that I've in every program I've ever written. Because I don't just fucking put things in there for no point.
Yeah.
There's always a reason. There's always a deeper answer to that. And if you want to know, I can fucking lecture you for an hour and a half about why we're doing it in that particular way. Or we can just have a quick conversation that provides the context you need. But both of those things rely on a certain level of engagement in the process. Mm. Like, you're not just paying us to get the result you want. Like, you're going to have to do the work. And for some people, that work is really enjoyable and they love learning about it. Some people don't. That's fine too. But there's got to be a sort of level in between,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. I guess I'm in two minds about it. Like, I really, like you, and love talking about this and love being questioned and love questioning, but, you know, being challenged on my own beliefs and having to justify my beliefs and having that discussion, because it's how you continue to grow and learn as a person or as a coach.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, I have a great deal of respect for people who are willing to just trust me and let me kind of set the scaffolding and build them into a better lifter and just not ask questions and just follow the process, you know? It's like a conflicting message, you know? One of the most hashtagged thing is like, trust the process, follow the process kind of thing. And
shout out Alex Hayes, the process powerlifting.
Yeah, follow the process. 100%. As in, like, follow the process on Instagram, as in Alex Hayes.
Yeah.
You get what we're saying. Yes. Yeah. So I actually don't have an issue with people not asking questions at all. However, I think if you are, like you say, if there's, you don't want to beat yourself, your head against a wall over and over. If you're struggling to understand something, or if you're not confident in what's happening or why you're using a specific rep range exercise, whatever it is, then you should definitely be asking questions.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't like people who just do that, who just shut up and do the work. The people I don't like are the people who shut up and do the work and then complain when it doesn't get, the things don't happen in the way they expected them to happen. You know, you like in any pursuit in life, you're only going to get out of training what you put in. And if what you put in is just to turn up and mindlessly do the same shit over and over and over, when it comes to things like, you know, warm-ups and stuff like that, where people walk in and they're sitting on a bike scrolling Instagram and doing all these things where they're not engaged in the process, I think that's the thing that annoys me the most. I don't expect you to be so zen that you're training in pure silence with blinders on and, you know, only paying attention to exactly what you're doing, but you have to engage in the process to some level. You can't just mindlessly follow something and expect it to work.
This scales upwards as well. Like, you know, the conversation we're coming from is really about lifters asking questions to inform their process and continue to grow as a lifter. But if you're a coach listening to this as well, if you're the person in the position, like John and I tend to be quite a lot, of getting asked questions, your best tool in your arsenal is continuing to ask questions as well. Like, you know, I guess through this platform, we get seen as people who answer questions. But when you see me one-on-one with people who I really value, and hopefully it even comes through on this podcast, I like to ask questions and I like to listen and I like to hear what people have to say, because again, that helps me to learn and grow and broaden my horizons and broaden my understanding level. And it's the way that you're going to get more knowledge and get better at what you do, is by continuing to ask these questions, right?
Yeah, man. And I think from that standpoint, as a coach, the most powerful thing you can say is, I don't know, or I don't understand. I think that acknowledges that you're not a complete human who can be expected to know everything. You have areas that you'll be better at and areas that you won't be as good at. And being genuinely curious about learning about those things, I think especially as a coach, it's very easy to fall into a dogma or a method that this is the only way I do things, and then you just never really evolve and your methods never really evolve. And we've joked about it before, but like, you go back and look at a program you wrote 3, 4, 5 years ago and it's fucking embarrassing, man. Like, it hurts. And if it doesn't, I would expect that you're not growing, you know? And I think that's the whole fucking point of this whole game, life in general, right? Growth, evolution, and then we all die.
Absolutely.
And I think that, like, I've definitely been guilty, probably in the last 2 years, of letting my self-directed learning slack off a little bit. Changing my life significantly has been being a parent. So, you know, that's definitely changed the way I think about things, but it also has given me a different viewpoint on things. Like, it's, do you remember, like, just how wonderful it is to not know anything and see all these, like, fuck, man, you should hear how excited my son is when we drive past a car. Like, 'cause he can say car, 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 car. Like, being curious about everything, I find it fascinating to have these conversations about things that aren't training related, and like, have a weird esoteric half an hour conversation about, like, how does that particular facet of society work and those sort of things. I think that for me is really enjoyable. I enjoy these conversations. I genuinely enjoy learning things and improving upon my knowledge, even if that knowledge is useless and I'm never going to use it again in my life. Something I didn't know before. And I think if you can take that approach into whatever it is you do for a living, then you're likely to be successful at it.
All right. To kind of bring things back to where we started, I guess, and talking about asking questions as a lifter, I think a big thing that you need to remember when you're asking questions as a lifter, or if you're coming up as for coming up with questions as a lifter is that the answer is probably a little bit more complicated. It's, you know, we have to remember that lifting is a pretty complex system. Like powerlifting is so often very reductionist, as in people look at it as, oh, it's just a deadlift, a squat, a bench, you know, and some accessories. But there is a defined process. There is a pretty complex process that goes with this. The questions that you ask, if you're expecting a simple answer, the question is probably not the right question. So try and have a deeper think in terms of how might this question apply to the broader system of lifting across the board, even simple things like how can I improve my retraction on squats and bench? And then you have a look at your deadlift and you're doing these like soft shoulder lockouts and you're like, okay, well, maybe doing a complete deadlift lockout involves an element of scapular traction, and maybe that's a particular weakness across the board for you. Maybe there's an opportunity in deadlifts to fix your squat. You know, looking at things as a bigger system might help you find your answers before you ask the question, or might help you formulate your question to have a better conversation around what the answer might be.
Yeah, and I think if you're the sort of person that's got this far into episode fucking 70 or whatever we're up to now of this weird experiment that is you and I just talking shit on the internet repeatedly, you're probably the sort of person that wants to learn anyway, which is good. That's the first step, I think, being willing and open to learning new things and not being so attached to your beliefs that they change drastically. You know, that question that we ask people about, like, what's the thing that you used to believe that you don't anymore? I really enjoy people's answer to that because it throws a lot of people because they're not ready to acknowledge that they were wrong in the past. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with being wrong occasionally. And I think it's part of, you know, we talked about last week about dealing with failure. Like, it's part of the process. At some point, you're going to have your beliefs changed. And if you don't, then you're probably just not going to make progress in the long term.
Sweet. I'm happy to call it. What do you reckon?
Me too. I think so. I
like it.
Ask better questions.
Yes. And if you've got questions for us, we'd love to do another question and answer episode.
Yeah, I'm actually going to put up a Q&A post because I'm driving to Sydney on Monday. And so I was going to answer some questions while I'm driving. Because otherwise I just get bored and fall asleep.
Don't get a $1,000 fine.
I'll try not to.
All right. Find us on social media. Post us on your Instagram so we can reshare it. We love hearing all the messages and seeing all the people listen to it. This is really fucking cool.
Also, leave us a review on iTunes because I randomly went onto iTunes to listen to that first 10 minutes the other day and saw that the review that popped up just said, it was like a 5-star review that said, is basically just a better version of Weekly Weights, which just fucking cracked me up. So leave us a 5-star review. It does help us spread the good word that is learning about powerlifting.
And for the record, we do love the Weekly Weights boys.
Yeah, I'd love Burke if he's about 45 kilos heavier though. I think fat Burke should make a comeback.
All right.
I think he was far more beautiful than
skinny Sam, Burke. Do you think? Oh, also, shout out to Sam. We're going to put this at the start of the next episode because we should have done it today. But he's finally, after years of me hassling him, it's not solely me. I'm sure everyone's been hassling. He's going to start selling his prints of the amazing photos he takes. So check him out, Loomis Prints on Instagram. His stuff is amazing. So buy his stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Some sick drone photography and definitely worth buying.
All right. See you later.
Goodbye.
All right. Dansky.